There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rippin', rippin'.
Springtime, baby. It's the beginning of the golf season. You pretty jacked up?
Yeah, man. Excited for a little chop sesh, little Jordan and Andy chop sesh tonight.
In studio. How do you like the new, have we done this setup yet? Have you done this?
Yeah, we pioneered it. You and I did.
We did? Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought I pioneered it on the
No, actually, it was my idea.
Oh. Okay, well, credit to you. I think Jamie Rue reached out and was like, I really like these new angles.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, well, you're a podcaster now, man. You kind of, you know the tricks of the trade.
Oh, buddy, it's good to be here, man. I think tonight we were just going to chat about a little preseason episode, early season. Our season technically opens.
Spring training, if you will.
Yeah, spring training, I like that.
Right, spring training. I mean, it's, well, we played, what was the name of that course we played with Beef last week? It's out
Timber Ridge,
Timber Creek.
That was fun.
Yeah, fun's a good word. Well, here, so shout out Timber Creek for being open. Mm-hmm. Early season spring golf, can't expect too much out of many of the courses.
Nope.
Right. So I think the mentality going into the round was let's play golf and let's just, you know, see how the swing feels, and can't care too much about, you know, bad lies, bad greens, and anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we were kind of chatting about this episode, it was like, that's kind of what spring training's for. It's what preseason is for. Like, you got to get out and you know you're not going to have your best. A really good example of this is, and I'm not going to exaggerate this, you can back me up on it.
Mm-hmm.
The first, what do you think, 4 or 5 holes that we played,
mm-hmm.
you hit driver, and I would say you blocked all of them minimum 50 yards right. Is that accurate?
It's kind of accurate. The first hole I hit a good one.
That's right. The first hole you did hit a good one.
Yeah.
You piped it.
Yeah. And then my iron play was like pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Hit some good iron shots, hit some good wedges, like had good control over the ball. And like my next 5 drives were, yes, off planet Earth, right?
Yeah. Like 50 yards right.
Yeah.
And you would kind of look at us from like, I think my setting on my driver or something's off. And Beef was like, this just happened to Matt Fitzpatrick, right? With like the weight in his handle. Like, I think he's Titleist, but he sent it to Titleist or whatever and did it and came back. He literally couldn't hit driver for 3 months. Like, oh yeah, you know, like there's a weight in the handle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Beef made a really good point. It's like with really good players or people that just play golf in general know their game, it's usually something really small. And you tweak that thing from, if there's any club junkies out there, I think you were C3 or C4 to A2. Yeah, so basically you had it really open and de-lofted, and you put it back to more, maybe plus,
I had it open
plus one.
And flat.
So you had it, and then you moved it to standard and up one, I think is what
upright.
A2 is.
Upright. It's upright.
And you proceeded to flush 285 yard carry drives, mm-hmm. the rest of the round.
Yeah, every drive I hit was good.
Yeah. And the lesson in all of this, and not to mention what you did with your irons, you want to tell the people what you had your lofts and lies at with your irons?
So it's, I mean, it's just a perfect example of like, you know, I mean, I feel stupid because I literally have a golf podcast with you. And we like talk about equipment all the time. And for the last year and a half, I've been playing the wrong settings essentially on all my clubs.
So what, you were 2 flat?
Yeah, I was like at least 2 flat on everything, which is just not correct for me.
Not you.
I've always been an upright guy. I kind of deliver the handle higher and realized that something was off. Like I just wasn't hitting it good for the last year.
a whole year.
I mean, basically, yeah. Like I didn't play very good last year for the most part. I mean, the beginning of the year I played fine, and then.
Well, you also did some swing changes, to be fair.
Yeah.
And that's always going to change.
Yeah.
Your...
And I kind of did go back a little bit. So, yeah, just like, I don't know. I mean, I got my irons adjusted, to be upright, and that's kind of interesting. I don't know. For those that don't know, like, what ended up happening for me was I kind of went down this accidental rabbit hole of trying to move like strike location on my irons via lie angle. So I actually ended up bending them flat to try to move the strike closer to the center of the face. Essentially, when you bend a club flatter, it actually becomes longer.
Yeah, because your effective loft gets lower, right?
No, because the club actually lengthens.
Oh, you're saying the actual face. Yeah, because like
when you bend it flatter, the club gets longer.
Sure, but it also affects your loft.
I think it does it affect your loft?
Yeah, minimally. Like when you
bend flatter, it
makes it stronger.
Yeah. Does it make it stronger?
Or is it weaker? Oh, yeah, it makes it weaker because you're opening it.
Yeah, I think that's true. That's definitely true with driver. Although, I don't know. I when you de-loft, it opens the face. When you add loft, mm-hmm. it closes the face.
Yep, and then
I don't know about lie angle.
Upright makes it go more left. Flat right. makes it go more right.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's true. So I was missing right all year last year. Yeah, adjusted my irons and was hitting like really good iron shots, like compressing it. My divots were good. I'm like, holy shit, what's going on? And then, we adjusted the driver, started hitting the driver really good.
You adjusted from 2 flat on the irons to 4 upright.
To 3.5 up.
So yeah, basically
yeah.
6
degree. Like that's massive.
That's crazy massive.
Yeah. So
I'm a tweaker of the club and I went from standard to 2 up.
Yeah. So it's just crazy stuff, man. Like, and I don't, you know, it was funny, dude. So one of the things that, you know, who knows whether I'm going to play better this year because of that, but it's a big change. And I do know I was always upright and I do remember going flat and I just kind of forgot that I did it. It was like an experiment, I think. And I just forgot about it. And
mentally too, though, the confidence, right?
Yeah, I feel so much more confident and better.
I mean, like, you've said this to me before, cause I'll make tweaks and changes. Like, dude, I think I found the setting and you're just like, dude, you just like new shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's true.
You just like new stuff you get a confidence about it. And like second that you made that change and you piped a drive, you're like right away, like, oh, dude, that was it. Like, that was the key. Yeah. I don't have to change anything. And then you just went out and you started striping stuff because mentally you believe you've made the right change.
Yeah, I think that's definitely there's something to be said for that. One thing, I think we've talked about this extensively on the pod, is just getting, especially at the beginning of every year, but yeah, get your loft and lies checked.
Yeah, or go play a couple rounds. If this isn't something that you normally do and know your lofts and lies, the best thing you can do is play a couple times and like keep track of what you're predominant misses are, right? Yeah. Like everybody has a two-way miss in some realm, but like if like yours was predominantly right, what do you know? You move it from 2 flat to 3 upright,
draw, like,
yeah, now you're hitting them straight or you're hitting draws. And so like left, if you're blocking stuff right and you don't want to go through massive swing changes and lessons and you just kind of want to tweak what your current swing is to like almost cheat a little bit,
yeah,
go, you know, play a couple times, figure out what the misses are and be like, hey, I want to get these a few more upright.
Yep. Yeah. So another thing that's really interesting, man, is, you know, doing the yardages. I did mine on my GC3 the other day. I know I gained like speed over the winter and I don't know, like GC3 is like very accurate. It's like, it's like a hawk. So my yardages, I'm going to have to probably do it again. But it was like pretty like shocking.
Like how much further?
My 60 degree.
You went to the Epons too, right? So you changed some clubs.
I did go to the, I went back to the Epons.
They're a little hot.
They're a little hot, but like, I'll give you my numbers. My 60 degree, I was hitting 115. My 56, I was hitting 125, 125, 130. Mm-hmm. My 52, I was hitting 140.
So let's stop there and just go through my wedge numbers.
Yeah.
Because I would consider myself not, maybe not long, but like I'm not short.
No.
And I play a 58 that goes 100.
Yeah.
And then I go 54. That's about 110.
Yeah.
And then a 50. That's about 120, 125.
Yeah. So my 52 was going 150.
Yeah.
My pitching wedge was going 165.
Your pitching wedge was going 165.
Yeah. So iron was going 180.
Do you like that?
I don't like, dude, it wasn't that way on the course when we played the other day. So I don't know. It might be something with my GC3.
Could be a calibration. I mean, we recalibrated my stuff in here and definitely made the spin more accurate. And yeah. I've also found it has a lot to do with lighting.
Yeah.
You know, like if you don't have the right lighting and it's not picking up the spin, like if you're, let's say you're like 5-iron is spinning 2000.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to show that it's going 240.
It had never done that before today. So like all my numbers before were accurate. So anyway, it was just a weird thing. And maybe I am just super deep now.
I mean, you do hit the ball far. I mean,
I'm hitting it further. Yeah. And, the upright thing, and I'm compressing it. And so there's lots changing. So it's going to be really interesting to see, like, I'll probably play somewhere between what I thought were my stock numbers. Anyway, this is for the listeners. Get your stock numbers. It's not always true. So you kind of got to get out and feel it out, right? Like, so I know like my old pitching wedge was like 145. If I'm hitting the pitching wedge, you know, 165 in my simulator on the golf course, I'm probably going to be like when that 150 range with it, you know, like,
yeah.
So it's just, you got to go play and see what it's like out on the course.
You got to play. And I think the other thing that people need to remember is you need to stop caring what your 8-iron goes to another person's 8-iron and start thinking of your clubs as numbers.
As numbers. Yeah.
So like I would have, if I could go back in time and like pound that into my head, I really wish I would have.
Yeah.
I was like trying to make a 7-iron go 180.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't. Like my 7-iron now, it goes 165, 170, and I'm okay with that. And like it's because of the loft, right? If I look at those lofts compared to like, I don't know, the TaylorMade's or like this P790 to TaylorMade's, it's probably 3 degrees stronger there.
Yeah.
Then it would go that far.
Yeah.
Like you have to stop caring about what a certain club goes. And especially when you're talking with people like out on the course and you're like, hey, what did you hit there? You need to ask like, what number did you play there? Because dude, someone's 8-iron compared to another 8-iron is not.
My dad does this. It drives me crazy. He'll be like, what? He's a scratch. He'll be like, what'd you hit? I was like, I'll hit an 8. He's like, it's not an 8-iron. I'm like, well, how far does my 8-iron go? He's like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but like, it's just
my 8-iron might be an inch longer.
Right. Exactly.
And 2 degrees stronger. It might be
lofted at a 6-iron.
Yeah.
It just says 8.
Yeah. People really need to get
so
over
anyway, that was weird. I'm going to have to kind of figure that. It's again, just another thing. Like you got to figure out early season, how far do your clubs go? Like, I don't really know. I mean, I had a session the other day and I was like nuking everything in the simulator. Is that a good source of truth? Like probably not. I don't think I'm going to do that out on the golf course. So I'm not going to like pull pitching wedge from 165. You know, but I'll probably hit a 9-iron, right? Like, and you just try to, and oh, did it come up short? Did I hit it pure? Okay. Like start feeling it out, right? Feeling it out.
Yeah. You got to feel your way around the golf course. And a lot of people will say they end up playing better golf earlier in the season because they're not caring about the outcomes, right?
It's true.
And the other thing that you and I talked about after was the worst part of our game was the one thing that's really hard to practice inside, which is chipping.
Yep.
That had a lot to do with the, you know, maybe the greens and the conditions of the course.
Once.
But yeah, I think maybe Beef did one time.
Beef got up and down a bunch, I thought.
He's always got a good short game.
His short game's always dialed.
Yeah, so it's always very consistent. But even still, like, you need to get out and you need to practice chipping and just feeling turf interaction again. And especially, you know, on the courses early in the season, you know, when Song opens up this weekend, it's going to play completely different than what it does in, like, the last time we played it, which is end of fall. Right. Yeah. And especially if there's been some rain this week, you know, you need to get that turf interaction, figure out what the, you know, the greens and the grass and everything is doing. Mm-hmm.
And one other thing is like for early in the season, I used to like for the first round of the year, I would get to the golf course an hour and a half early and I'm like, I'm going to grind, figure out what the ball's doing. You don't know until you get out on the golf course.
And you're usually hitting off mats.
Right. Just get early loose, in the season. Just get loose and get out on the golf course. And figure it out.
Hit putts.
Yeah,
hit
for sure.
The green. That's where you should spend most of your time.
Dude, I'm going to spend 90% of my time practicing putting and chipping this year.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my goals, spend more time just inside of 100 yards.
And wedges. I mean, I don't think I'm going to hit a lot of balls at the range.
You know who doesn't hit a lot of balls at the range and is really, really good is Jack Killen.
I know. I'm convinced that, like, the more balls you hit or the more balls I hit, the more my bad habits come out.
Yeah. Well, but you've, see, I'm the opposite where I have to pound in my new good habits. Mm-hmm. You know, you've already built those habits.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah. You got to kind of figure out your DNA, like what your recipe is. You know, for me, it's increasingly becoming hit less golf balls, hit less 7-irons on the range. You know, I'm hitting a lot of wedges, 100 yard shots, 80 yard shots, you know, 75 yard shots, different flights, getting my wedge matrix dialed in, you know, that kind of thing. I'm going to practice a lot of short game, a lot of putting this year and hit some drivers, but I don't think I'm going to be like grinding 6 irons this year.
So we're not going to see a bunch of swing videos on Instagram anymore?
You're not, man. It's just not, it's not going to be something I focus on this year.
All right. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that other than just kind of accepting that reality.
Yeah, but it's different.
When we played in the McKenzie Cup, I thought it was really interesting. You know, as we were kind of like talking as a team, it's just like go warm up normal, right? And like, so McKenzie Cup is Hazeltine versus Windsong, 8v8. And, you know, it's probably our version of like a serious competition of like a really watered down Ryder Cup, right? Like it's two clubs going head to head. And Hillenden made the point like, hey, when you warm up this week, don't do anything different than you normally would. Like whenever I go to competitions, I warm up normally. And it was very, very interesting to see how different people go through that pre-tournament round routine.
Mm-hmm.
And the one, like the main takeaway that I had was all of the older, more experienced, really good players did not hit a lot of balls.
Yeah.
It was chipping and it was putting. Mm. And it was figuring out the speeds of the greens.
Yep.
And Ross talked about that a little bit too. Like your swing at some point kind of becomes your swing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to warm that up. And then you need to like, you're going to gain way more strokes chipping and putting than you will like with your driver.
Yeah.
With
and your Tiger iron. Said it great, you know. Warming up is about warming up. You know, it's usually that what you're doing on the range is not what goes on the golf course.
Yeah.
You know, there's that thing of like, I hit it really bad on the range and I freaking shot 65 or
yeah.
I hit it really good on the range and I sucked on the golf course. It's just, you don't know, just warm up, you know, just get your body going.
Are you bringing any new, maybe like training aids or pre-round practice things to the course this year?
Just my putting mirror.
Yeah, because I was going to point to mine over there too, because I'm doing that as well.
Yeah, so just my putting mirror, which is really so. Here's what I'll say. My focus areas are this year. We've talked a lot about caring a lot less, so it's going to be huge for me. But I really, really, really want to spend most of my time again working on my short game, because when my short game is good, it is the strength of my game. Like the ceiling of my short game is really high. I have really good feel and. When it's and it can be really good if I put in time, like I get a lot of ROI out of it is what I'm saying. So chipping and putting, and then really honestly, one thing I've become increasingly aware of that I don't do a good job of is staying on top of ball position, alignment,
yeah,
grip, posture, setup.
How much do you notice that when you hit balls in the sim now?
Well, now I notice I'm like, I'm money every time in the sim because I check it.
Yeah.
Like I get my camera out and I check, yep, like, okay, where am I at? Where's my ball position at? And you're on a mat and you can stand in the same place every time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, fuck, dude, it's amazing how like you will start aiming right and then you'll start doing shit in your golf swing.
Yeah. And changes the whole,
it changes outcome. Everything. And yeah. And so like, I've never, ever been like really diligent about like checking my alignment, checking my setup, checking my ball position, checking my posture, just like being on top of those things consistently throughout the year and not letting myself veer one way, but just trying to stay within a tighter range. And I do notice like I'll be playing in like July and someone will be like, dude, you're aimed 40 yards right. And I'm like, what? And like, and then it's like, oh, I wonder why I have all this bad swing habits coming yeah. in. I wonder why like all this stuff, my golf swing looks different. It's like, well, yeah, I'm trying to overcompensate for like, or like my grip changes, you know, like
yeah.
all of a sudden my grip's weak, you know? So I don't know. Maybe that's something we could help each other with, is just like staying sure. on top of that stuff. But
for sure. It's one of the things that I've noticed when my rounds start to go awry, right? Like I need to identify it earlier on in my round to make adjustments earlier on. I get really stubborn where, you know, maybe the first two holes I hit two bad drives on like, mm-hmm. on like one and two. And one and two at Windsong, my opinion, are not hard driver holes. Like one can be absolutely.
Depending on the wind. If it's downwind, it's kind of hard because that bunker's
yeah,
super in play.
But, you know, let's move back and go to the black tees, right? Like mm-hmm. big landing zones. One and two aren't difficult. Like mm-hmm. you should be hitting the fairway or at least like first cut close to the rough, mm-hmm. right? And I'll like go through one and two, maybe hit some bad drives. Like, I just, you know, kind of had some bad swings there. When the reality is like, I'm probably not aligned right. And I need to like retrain my eyes better. Mm-hmm. And I need to like fix that earlier in the round instead of trying to like battle through it, you know, like just realize that you're not doing something right a yeah. lot earlier and you'll get more of it. A lot of people will do this. Well, they'll have a bad nine and they'll make an adjustment going into 10. Like make the adjustment on hole four or five.
Totally. And I always adjust my golf swing first. And it's like, no, like, again, this is another big theme for the year. Fundamentals.
Yeah.
Like, go to the fundamentals. How, where's my grip? Right. Where's my grip? Where am I? Where's my alignment? What's my posture? Where am I standing? What is ball position? Am I good? Do all those things check out perfectly? Okay. You know, fundamentals for me, it's big, short game and putting, big, and attitude. Big. Those are the three strategic themes of the year, baby.
Those are three good ones, man. I don't know if I could beat those. I will say you and I both are focusing more on short game and putting. I can't really, like, you know, classify that as one thing. Mm-hmm. But just in terms of, like, what I want to bring to the golf course, I definitely want to try and be better at controlling the things I can control. I think I made a lot of excuses for myself in the past, like, you know, go fire a 79 or an 80 and be like, ah, it's really windy and rainy that day. Mm. But then, like, I look in the group and, you know, there's other scratch golfers or pluses or whatever that are finding a way to grind out a 74. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't just give yourself these excuses that are out there. I saw someone talk about this in a reel the other day, and they were like, the really good golfers find a way to play well even on the shitty days. Like, mm-hmm. they go and they grind it out and they just find a way to play. They're not going to have their best days all the time. You never are. And you can't just wait for that perfect day where you're getting, like, all the right numbers. The weather's really good. You're in a really good mood. Like, I mean, right now, look at me and you. We're all gimpy. Like, my neck hurts because I slept like shit on mm-hmm. it. You tweaked your back, you know, in here yesterday. Like,
yeah.
That's going to linger for a few days, right? Like, you can't just wait until you're going to be, like, everything comes together to shoot your right score. You got to, like, fight through it in golf. Yeah. That's kind of the way that you got to play.
Absolutely.
So I want to control the things that I can control that's probably my biggest takeaway.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. And I think other things, you know, some of the fun stuff, like, I got my bag all organized the other day. Oh, I went out to Windsong, got my locker dialed in.
Locker dialed.
Yeah, put my clothes in there, hung up my shirts, put some organizers, golf balls, hung my hats.
It's kind of like your first day of school.
It is a little bit, man. It's, like, so exciting.
You're, like, wearing your new shoes.
Yeah, I got my new FootJoys for the year and stocked up on balls.
And we're playing this weekend, right? Are you playing Friday?
Yeah, playing Friday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
I'm playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's going to be 60s and 70s all weekend.
I know. It's, like, it's why not? Sunny, so I'm actually going to take the day off of work on Friday and just get after it, man. I'm excited. I'm really excited. It's a fresh start. You know, it's always a fresh new year, and this is always a great, exciting time. You know, the Masters is this weekend. It's like, dude, like, golf is coming, and you get and you know what I love about it is I get excited every single year.
I know.
You know, I get butterflies in my stomach, man. Yeah. Like,
dude, I can't sleep waiting for Friday game.
I know, me too. It's like, it's just so exciting. You know, and it's interesting, like, what happens, you know, what is it about this that's exciting, right? And it's like, if you really think about it and you evaluate it and you examine it, it's like, look, it's a fresh start. You know, people love fresh starts. You know, the baggage of the past is gone. It's a new year. You know, there's no demons this year, right? Like, it's a new day. You're also coming out of Minnesota winter, and there's a level of gratitude of just being out on the fucking golf course, man. Like, and then by the time you get into, like, July and August, all that shit's out the window, and you're mad that you missed a three footer, and you're like, fuck, and you're screaming. And, you know, it's like, dude, I wish I could just have this attitude all year, man. Just an attitude of gratitude. You know,
be happy that we're playing.
Be happy that we're playing. Low expectations, man. You know, control the process. Like, this is the mental state I want to live in.
And I love that this time of the year is, like, it's really just accepted in the golf world as the beginning of golf season. Mm-hmm. You know, even though, like, a lot of states get to play year round, right, and, like, there's been tournaments going on and all this stuff, but, like, when the Masters rolls around, some people kind of, like, you know, brush off their shoes and their clubs, and it's like, all right, it's actually golf season. Like,
get the fever.
I may be in Arizona and have been playing all winter because, you know, I live down there, whoever, you know, is able to do that, but, like, everybody accepts this is the beginning of golf season right now.
Let's talk about just real quickly kind of what your lineup is kind of top to bottom this year. Like, what are you indexed around in terms of apparel?
Like, what am I going to wear?
Yeah.
Well, I spent a lot of money on merch for the pod.
A lot of merch coming for our loyal faithful.
Grayson, Unreal, Johnny O, Peter Millar, like, you name it. I think my... well, you know me, I'm pants guy.
Yep.
So I don't think I'll ever ditch the pants.
Do you used to wear shorts though?
No. I've always worn pants.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm comfortable in it.
Okay.
I don't have to think about it. It's either black pants or blue pants.
Okay.
I don't really stray too, except for those really ugly J. Lindbergh pants I wore once at Kiwa. But yeah.
Kiwa.
Yeah, I think I've I'm always pants guy. I kind of went away. Like, I was wearing a lot of Nike shoes. I was looking over there recently. I've got some new pairs of shoes. I've gotten a couple of pairs of the the FootJoy
Premier Series.
The Premier Series. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Could not think of those. Those are really comfortable shoes.
When you break them in, yeah.
Yeah, I think I want my kind of apparel this year to be a little bit more on the maybe classy side.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like Peter Millar, I think more like tight stuff, kind of lost some weight. You know, I went down from 230 to maybe like 210, 205. Mm-hmm. So that feels good. And then, you know, just from like a headwear perspective, kind of mixing it up, maybe not as many like flat bills and loud, maybe a little like, you know, smaller, more sleek.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like Eric Van Rooyen, Justin Thomas type like that. Vibes, yeah. With like the Grayson and FootJoy. Yeah.
So my lineup is pretty consistent. Not a lot of changes. We're going Smathers and Branson belts like we always do. Or
you love those belts.
I love those belts. Or we've got our collection of like lizard leather. You know, I think I've got a brown and a couple different lizard leather belts. Going red Vanley shorts, running it back. Enjoy their product. New on the docket this year are the Del Campo socks, which Jordan is rocking as well, but they're like a golf sock and they're cut at a really desirable height. You know, it's not an ankle sock. It's not a calf sock, a mid calf sock. It's kind of what I would call. Yeah. It's kind of what I've got them on too. It's kind of what
Instagram
I would call
got you and I,
it's kind of what I would call a tweener sock, which I'm really into. I'm going to be heavy on the Holderness and Born polos. Big fan of those.
Ooh, okay.
And then, I'm becoming a big hoodie guy.
Oh, yeah.
Colder weather, you know, shorts, hoodie, and then the Imperial hat is kind of my go-to staple. Just the regular XL Imperial hat, not the bucket. I do mix that in a little bit.
You got the member guest rope.
The rope hat on right now. I do mix in a bucket hat as well.
Mm-hmm. Love that for you.
Invested in
visor.
I'm kind of
visor guy.
I'm not great with the visor. It's just
even with the long flow.
It's my flow's cut. So it's, I don't think it's great. But I will say, I've also got a Holderness and Born vest that I'm pretty excited, or a Cajus vest with a little Oakmont logo on. I'm going to be rocking that a lot this year. And then footwear wise, bag, big change. New bag went away from the Titleist Lynx Master Series this year, and I'm into a Ping carry bag, son.
Oh, that's a Ping.
Yeah,
I didn't realize
it's
that.
A Ping. Ping makes a great golf bag. It's really lightweight. It's white, which I think is kind of cool. I'm into it.
We're having the Ping guys on the pod too. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, that's gonna be sweet.
Jamie hooked it up.
Sweet. So
could be our first potential into a.
That'd be nice.
Potential.
And then
sponsorship.
Pro SLX Carbon FootJoys is going to be. I've always been a Premier guy. I got a pair of Pro SLX Carbons this year,
okay.
Which is like the more comfortable shoe. So I'm trying to go to a little bit more comfortable shoe, a little bit lighter bag, just, you know, limit the profile a little bit, shed some unnecessary weight. You know.
Yeah, that's it's kind of like cleaning house a little bit. I did a lot of that this winter, yeah. Both here in the sim and in my closet. You know, I've always been a whore for a good pro shop and just buy, you know, a bunch of random stuff. And I was like looking through my closet, like, man, you gotta stop.
Yep.
So I definitely feel you there. Do you have any leans on the season for, like, do you know who your member partner and derby partner and all that stuff is?
Yeah. Jack Reister at the derby, and Lowball is my guy in the member this year.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm running it back with Entwistle, and then Donnelly will be my partner for the Derby.
Nice. Are you signed up for the season-long match play?
I am. I was a first-round exit last year.
I signed up for the singles gross this year. I didn't play last year.
Oh, you didn't?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I signed up. Entwistle and I made it to the final final four for doubles.
Fuhr and I won that 2 years ago.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Is your name on the wall?
You don't get your name on the wall for that.
Oh, it's only for singles.
We do have a sweet trophies at home, though.
That is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jack's won everything. Somebody's got to try and beat Reister this year at something.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck.
Is his game good right now?
His game's always good, man. Yeah. Anyway, our listeners don't know what we're talking about, but that's our cue probably to sign off. But good luck, everybody. Let us know, you know, what you're excited about heading into the new golf year. It's 2024. It's going to be your year. Nobody's stopping you.
Last question.
You're him.
Odds on one of us getting a hole in one this year.
Dude.
Do you have one?
How many do you have? I have zero as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should make a bet on who gets a hole in one first.
Okay.
Because we know it's massively lucky, right? Like,
yeah.
They always say if you hit it to a foot, it's a really good golf shot. If it goes in, it's just luck.
Yeah.
You want to make a bet on who gets one first?
Sure.
What do you want to bet?
I don't know.
Compliment?
Let's think about it. We'll circle back.
So when somebody, whoever gets the hole in one first, the other person has to host a podcast and do a whole thing on their, like, review their entire round, go through the score, the shots, and the hole in one.
Okay, that's fine. Well, or you have to tell like a full story on the podcast about the hole in one.
Yeah, and go through the round, like the whole bit.
The whole round?
Yeah, like go through the scorecard. You don't have to do like every shot.
Okay.
But basically, imagine you're doing like a mini, a 15-minute docuseries on somebody's hole in one.
I like that.
Yeah, let's do it. I was thinking that
or TikTok dance.
For the loser, they got to do whatever the latest TikTok
loser
dance is.
Loser has to do a TikTok dance.
Can you imagine Beef doing a TikTok dance?
No. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, y'all.